how do we start? Where do we start when it comes to engaging youth? As you can tell clearly from the title of this segment, we're going to start small with STEM energizers. Before we get into that, though, I want to quickly address, why is it important to start small? Well, first of all, with small steps, we know that it's an achievable goal, it's something that we can tackle, and it doesn't become overwhelming. If we set up extremely high and unrealistic expectations from ourselves in the beginning, we're going to struggle even more, we're going to get demotivated, and long term it will not be a sustainable plan, and therefore we are not going to continue with that effort to engage our youth, leading to eventually losing them perhaps. So we want to start small, which is why we're tackling this, and we're going to talk about icebreakers and energizers as a training tool in any learning environment, whether that's a school, a youth group, or an adult training group. So let's talk about the characteristics. So energizers and icebreakers are activities that are quick, that usually last between 5 and 6 minutes. Obviously, you can play around with that. They're fun, they're energetic, they're used as a break to liven up a group. They have purpose, they can be used to develop soft and hard skills, and they can even be used to introduce a topic or enhance a topic's understanding. So, when are they used? The same activities can be called icebreakers or energizers. What's different is that an icebreaker is what is classified as the activity that we're using in a first meeting when trainees and youth workers and participants do not know each other yet. Energizers can be used throughout the entire course, throughout the entire youth work session, throughout the entire season or academic year, and so on and so forth. So they are practically the same thing, however, they are named differently because of the relationship between the trainers, the workers, the participants in general. So, when can they be used? They can also be used as morning openers, they can be used as pre-event socializers, they can be used for after lunch to help people wake up, they can be used to relieve tension, they can be used to energize tired participants. But just as it was said in the second point, energizers can be used throughout the entire course as a youth worker, trainer, teacher, and so on deems necessary. A very important quote, one that it is good to use as a reminder every now and again. George Bernard Shaw said, "We don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing." So, in our context, why do we use energizers? We use them to create a fruitful learning environment. We use it also for team management purposes and also for encouragement principles. So let's get into that a little bit more. Let's talk about the learning environment. In any learning environment, we know that for people to learn, there needs to be a prerequisite for trust. If our youth members, if our participants don't trust us, whether that means they don't trust us as a person, that they're safe, they don't trust each other, they don't trust that we know what we're talking about, then obviously they're not going to be as open to receiving information. The other thing about a learning environment is that it needs to be a place that is full of creativity. When we say learn, and obviously, you know, we hear information, but to really take it in, to have information percolate and give meaning to it, it happens more in places that are creative, where ideas flow, when there's expression of opinions, when there's active participation, and generally when there is a team spirit. And speaking about team, let's just quickly move on to team management and encouragement principles. So energizers can be used to indicate to the entire team that we regard them all as equals, that they are of equal importance, that we understand that they have different learning styles, different needs, different attributes, and we show how do we actually appreciate those differences and how do we honor those differences in a way that's fruitful. How do we show that those differences are not issues that necessarily need to be negative and that need to separate people, but instead, how do we bridge certain assumptions that are born around the identification of differences between people? How do we bring them close to each other despite the differences? And how do we show that because we have so many differences, we can actually bring different ideas, different points to the table, and become a much more holistic team, a more inclusive and diverse team? Can also use energizers to face friction for interaction, and obviously to motivate our group to want to learn. Icebreakers contribute to a better training outcome. So let's talk about the formula, and this is obviously my opinion. I'm sure there's many other outlooks on it, but what I have found works best for me is that you need to have purpose and you need to be creative as to how do you deliver something that has meaning and has purpose, and then that is how you get the ideal energizer. So you need to combine purpose and creativity in order to have the ideal energizer that will motivate people to want to be engaged, to want to learn, and so on and so forth. However, what is very important to put out there is that it's not a one-size-fits-all formula, meaning that when someone asks you, what could an energizer look like? Yes, it could look like something like we see right now in this photo, but it could look entirely different. And the reason is because there are so many variables that we have to consider. The audience is, of course, the first one. The duration. Are there limitations when it comes to time? The number of participants. Health and safety. Space. Can you move around? Can they run around? If they run, is there a chance that they will get injured? Is your energizer inclusive enough? Is it inclusive to gender, disability, preferences, faith? Speaking of faith, there are certain things that we have to be aware that we need to be sensitive to, which is things like belief systems, religion, culture, family situation, mental illness. So there are so many variables that one needs to consider and place that into their energizer in order to create something that is a tailor-made fit for that group, for what they need to learn together, for how a specific energizer can help each of them develop individually. And how does that relate to the context rather that you are trying to present to them? What are they trying to learn? What is the purpose that you have for that session? So to summarize, when it comes to energizers, they need to be used with a purpose. They need to be intentional. They can be linked to the course content, but they do not have to. They can be used to encourage trainees or youth to participate. They can be used to motivate someone to want to learn, to enhance cooperation, to retain attention and focus, and to energize tired trainees. What we're going to do next is we're going to look at a few samples of energizers, and as you see them, I am going to give you some suggestions as to how they can be used. Most of those suggestions will come from how I have personally used them in my own lessons or in my own training sessions. But of course, you will put your own context, your own spin to it. So what you will see will be just ideas. The next part of what will follow is you will get to see how to do it yourself. So I do suggest to go ahead, definitely try it yourself. Play around, have fun, learn how to do it, And then there will be ideas as to how you can implement it, what the learning outcomes can be, and how you can be creative with an energizer. The animal balloon exercise is usually used in my classrooms at least to help them build some confidence because starting with an animal balloon, sometimes it is a scary task for many students as they are scared that it might pop. So the goal of this exercise is to show them that if they take it one step at a time, they can achieve a task that they set their minds to. The other thing is that, of course, it's an activity that is fun, especially when they end up with a result that they did not expect that they would be able to get to. What I do advise is that you have many balloons ready for them in case some pop. When everyone finishes with this exercise, what you will notice is that all the students will not have the exact same end result. In this case, the same result of a dog animal balloon. And that is something that you can dive into if you'd like. You can talk about, does that mean if we come up with a different outcome, that the quality of our outcome is better or less than someone else's? So it is something that you can discuss if you'd like, and I'm sure there are tons of topics that you can dive into when using this activity. The cup tower exercise is used for team building. The starting exercise, the first level, is to use six cups. Ideally, you're going to have six different colors, and the reason that is to show that there are different people in a team. And then you're going to have to separate these six cups into two groups on either side of a table. The point of the exercise is using a plastic band that is tied with different laces or different strings is for each of your youth members to hold one string, and then they're going to have to pull each string together in unison while communicating with each other so that they can go over a cup and then pick up a cup using the band and then loosen their grip so that it can tighten up on the cup and then be able to move it where they need to. And do this to set up a base of three, then two, then one, so that they can eventually create a pyramid, a cup pyramid. Let's have a look at how you can get this one done. The paper airplane energizer is such an amazing exercise. It can be used for so many reasons. First of all, your students would have to go to a specific website that will be shown in just a bit, but it's all about learning how to follow instructions accurately, productively, how to check their own work, and then, as you will see, it's how do you take down data, how do you tabulate data, how do you measure data accurately and effectively? What tools do you use? How do you use them? How do you read that data? How do you discern? How do you analyze that data? It's also about mathematical knowledge, about how to find the average. It can be used in so many ways, depending on how much you want to use this to teach problem solving and critical thinking skills. Let's have a look.